Of course, the stories of Gang 4 were Ja Morant, Brandon Clark, and Desmond Bane, but there were plenty other underlying narratives that really helped the Grizzlies win a big Game 5 that should allow for them to have a few advantages going into Game 6. DeMichael, how excited are you for another edition of Locked On Grizzlies?
Sean, let's do it. It's getting to the crunch time.
Exactly. Here we go. Another talk when it comes to the Grizzlies here on Locked On Grizzlies.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope wherever you are and wherever you're listening, you're having a wonderful start to your day. Obviously, my name is Sean Coleman. You can find me at StatsSAC. DeMichael Cole, you can find DeMichael C. Wonderful, wonderful Grizzlies perspective over at the Commercial Appeal. I write over at Grizzly Bear Blues. Your co-host here at Locked On Grizzlies, your Grizzlies every day. Of course, you can find Locked On Grizzlies wherever podcasts are available. Want to remind you, obviously, to follow the show at Locked On Grizz on Twitter. Great interaction as always. But DeMichael, I know that you had plenty to talk about yesterday. Ja Morant, Brandon Clark, Desmond Bane, obviously overall the shooting, and Jaren Jackson Jr., you know, need to step up. But let's remove those things from the equation. And I know that's a lot, but let's remove those things from the situation. In a playoff series, the narratives that impact games become deeper. You have more underlying things to talk about. And if there was one thing besides the obvious yesterday that stood out to you, what would you say it was?
It was the perseverance, you know, all the things that they had to overcome, you know, the shooting disparity, you know, another struggling night for Jaren Jackson Jr. But more than anything, you know, they kind of went to the small lineup. Ja Morant finally, you know, they took the wheels off in terms of shortening the rotation to the best way he could, you know, 45 minutes for Morant, 45 minutes for Desmond Bane. And then 37 minutes off the bench for Brandon Clark. So you get a feeling Taylor Jenkins is really getting into that. You know, it's win now mode. It's no holds barred. It's no holding back. They're going full board. They're trying to get this over with.
Absolutely. And it was an interesting opportunity when it came to Taylor Jenkins going small ball. Because the thing is that if you look at these lineups, if you look at the going 8 or 9 deep with the Timberwolves versus the Grizzlies. With the Timberwolves, if they want to go unique, they're going to go size. I think there was one instance, you know, yesterday, they could go Taurean Prince. They could go Jared Vanderbilt. They could go Jaden McDaniels, Naz Reid, Karl Anthony Towns. They went big several times yesterday. And the Grizzlies, instead of using Kyle Anderson when Jaren Jackson Jr. fouled out, they decided to go with Tyus Jones. And it's a bit unique, right? Dylan playing the four, which I've always been intrigued with. Dylan as a four always really was a fun idea to me. But the thing that stood out was that Taylor Jenkins felt it was the right move. And to his credit, bringing in Tyus, bringing in Desmond, bringing in Ja, you're going to have a lot more ball control. You're going to have a lot more security, some good passing. But in Tyus Jones's case, you're also going to have good three-point shooting to assist Desmond Bane. And as Ja himself said, the spacing was a big reason why that small ball lineup helped.
Yeah, when they went to that small ball lineup, you know, it was interesting to see because we haven't seen, you know, just that lineup. But I give credit to Taylor Jenkins because at the end of the day, you know, basketball has become a more positionless game over the years. And what he did in this game was he said, you know, the heck with it. These are my 5 best players right now. Put them on the court. Figure the rest out later. These are your 5 best players. Ja Morant, Tyus Jones, Desmond Bane, Dylan Brooks, and Brandon Clark. At that time, those were the 5 best players. You just throw them out there. You worry about the other stuff, you know, when the time comes. And that's what they did. I thought, you know, it actually worked out you know, we've talked a lot about these matchups for Karl Anthony Towns, for example. Offensively, we've seen the strengths. It was more spacing, as you just mentioned. Ja Morant, obviously the biggest beneficiary of that space, the way he closed the game with 18 points in the fourth and 13 over the last 5 minutes. But defensively, having Dylan Brooks match up, you know, a lot of the time with Karl Anthony Towns in that stretch, and we know he tells us all the time, physicality, that's his game. That's his game. He wants to get physical with you. He looks forward to that. He was able to get physical in this game late in the fourth quarter with Karl Anthony Towns. And I think, you know, that kind of threw the Timberwolves off a little bit. And then another side note to having all these smaller guys on the court is you have quicker guys. So when they double team, they can get out to shooters that much faster. And they kind of had, you know, a quick scrambling lineup out there on the defensive side. And it kind of, you know, it was another curveball that Taylor Jenkins threw that I don't think the Timberwolves expected.
It was a good gut reaction. It was going with this gut, and it really worked out. And to your point, another side note that really stepped out, Brandon Clark. It was absolutely insane to me that, and I'm thankful for it, Karl Anthony Towns was not more active on the boards, but Brandon Clark, the 10th person over the past 25 years in NBA in the NBA playoffs to have 10 or more rebounds in the fourth quarter. But the big key to Michael is him getting the rebound, and then with this lineup that we had, they were absolutely booking it down the court and were able to get into position to be able to find good shots before the Timberwolves did. And Ja also pointed out, I asked him directly about the defensive adjustments that the small ball lineup allowed. And he brought up, we just did a good job of keeping them from being able to find the shots that they wanted. And you would think that the lack of size would prevent them from doing that. But the big thing that helped out was, to your point, the scrambling, the rotations, being able to stay in place, being able to double team, but still being able to cover area quicker. They did not let the Timberwolves have as many open opportunities to get good shots, and that made all the difference in the world. Even with Ant's three at the end of the game, the Grizzlies did a very good job of covering ground, and that seems to have been, you know, a pretty good wrench in the Timberwolves' plans in a lot of different times in this series. When the Grizzlies can cover a lot of ground, they can do a good job of stopping the Timberwolves.
And all that starts with Karl Anthony Towns, because that's the guy you have to cover the ground on the most. That's the guy who draws those doubles. And when he kicks it out, he's usually kicking it to a guy who may not be just wide open, but he's semi-open. He's open enough where if you hesitate just half a second, Sean, that ball's going up. And we've seen a lot of times this series, this Timberwolves team will knock them down. So having those quicker guys out there who can get out there to shooters quicker, or when Karl Anthony Towns is trying to back up a guy like Dylan Brooks and he sees just one body and he turns his head for 2 seconds and boom, here comes another Grizzlies player before he can turn back to his left shoulder or his right shoulder. Just those little moments of quickness matter when you have these smaller lineups out there. So the Grizzlies were able to be effective with that small lineup. I don't think, you know, it's a lineup we can see, you know, a lot more. Maybe we do. You know, maybe they found something, Sean. But I think it was more of like Jaren Jackson's fouled out. These are the guys that are playing well, and these are the best players. And, you know, it worked. Also, you know, before the series, I mentioned that I felt like we would see more of that Ja Morant, Tyus Jones pairing, because when you play, you know, certain players in the NBA really can pressure the ball. And I'm talking about not pressuring the ball in the half court. I'm talking about picking you up 70 feet, 80 feet, 90 feet away from the basket and just giving you a hard time, you know, to getting the ball past half court in 8 seconds. Patrick Beverley is one of those guys. Over time for a point guard, that takes a toll. Even to the casual fan, when it looks like, oh, Ja Morant's not having any trouble getting the ball past half court against Patrick Beverley, it is a workout. You know, having to, you know, get the ball past guys like that who constantly apply that pressure. So with that being said, bringing Tyus Jones in the game, and keep in mind, Ja Morant played 45 minutes. So any break within the game that you can give him, you want to. And his breaks in the game came when Tyus Jones would take, you know, care of the ball on offense and would run the point guard, and you get Ja Morant off of the ball. That's kind of more like a break within the game. Those are the type of breaks that you get, you know, in the playoffs. So I think that lineup pairing, you know, Tyus Jones and Ja Morant, that's something we saw a lot of in that game. 45 minutes for Ja, and Tyus Jones was still able to play 20. You know, Sean, that was something me and you talked about, like, where would Tyus Jones find his minutes in the postseason? Because we saw how he finished the season, and it worked out. It ended up being a big factor to why they won.
It absolutely did, and kudos to him. But the thing that I'll say is this, is at the end of the day, Tyus Jones playing as well as he is, Brandon Clark playing as well as they are, it's absolutely needed. But at the end of the day, the Grizzlies need their best talents on the court. We'll discuss that in some lineup perspectives coming up in just a moment. But before we do, speaking of taking a break, the thing I can tell you is this, is I think that you should take a break today and check out BetOnline.net, because there's so many different things to be able to enjoy. The NBA playoffs, the NFL draft, baseball, hockey, boxing, UFC, DeMichael's favorite sport, curling. Yes, curling is going on right now somewhere in the world. And you can bet DeMichael is heading to BetOnline.net to put in his odds. All joking aside, if whether it's on your mobile device or your laptop, BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way for you to enjoy all your betting needs. It's got even Vegas casino games. When you enjoy betting and wagering on sports, you want things to be as easy for you as possible. There's no better place to go than BetOnline.net. Check it out today. Obviously, the Locked On Now podcast is one big hit with the Locked On family of podcasts. And the reason why, there's so many different perspectives that you're going to get when it comes to the Locked On Now podcast. Check it out as your second listen of the day after checking out Locked On Grizzlies. So, DeMichael, it obviously has been hard to do with foul trouble and different matchups and things like that. But I think at the end of the day, we it's no secret the Grizzlies' quote-unquote death lineup is Ja, Desmond, Dillon, Brandon, and Jaren Jackson Jr. That absolutely is it. They featured it, I think, for the longest stretch that they did in Game 5 in the second quarter. And what happened? They came back and they closed the gap to give them a chance, which they were able to take advantage of late in the game. But the thing that I'll say is this, is that we go Ja, Desmond, Dillon, Jaren, and Brandon Clark. You've got Tyus Jones. You've got Kyle Anderson in there to throw into the mix as well. I'll start off with this. One thing that I will say, or actually a couple of things. Number one, the lineup that we ended the game with in Game 5, I would not put too much faith in featuring that lineup for many minutes in Game 6. That's number one. Number two, while I'm okay with using Xavier Tillman sparingly, I would not start him. I think that he adds value, but I think that you need to go with either Kyle Anderson or Brandon Clark to get off to the best start possible in Game 6. Those are two takeaways from Game 5 that I would adjust when it comes to Game 6.
Yeah, and I like those adjustments. It's just we're Brandon Clark. You know, we can agree, you know, he's in that death lineup, and he, you know, has been the most impactful big man on the Grizzlies in this series. But he's kind of like I don't think you can start him right now because of Jaren Jackson's foul trouble. At the end of the day, Jaren Jackson has been in foul trouble in all 5 games to this point. You almost have to assume that Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to be in foul trouble because that's all the Grizzlies have dealt with. Well, in that case, imagine if you start Brandon Clark. And we've seen, you know, it's happened not just once. It's happened multiple times in this series where the starting Grizzlies front court, both starters rack up, you know, multiple fouls. And in this situation, you have to bring in Xavier Tillman and Kyle Anderson. And you're just not going to get a lot of scoring in the front court from that lineup. And I think Taylor Jenkins harps on the words rotations a lot. I think just trying to, you know, be inside of his mind, a big reason, because Brandon Clark is, you know, he's a better offensive weapon than Kyle Anderson and Xavier Tillman. Like, you know, if you're just going on a talent perspective, like, yeah, sure, he should be starting. But I think what Taylor Jenkins is thinking is you get Jaren Jackson to start the game. You have that offensive, you know, offensively, Jaren Jackson is a gifted player. He's more than capable. And then if he gets in foul trouble, you can say, oh, okay, Brandon Clark is coming into the game. And you still get that front court scoring push if Jaren Jackson Jr. is in foul trouble. And then, like, another thing that I like to add to that point is overall, Brandon Clark is still playing starters minutes. So the whole start bench thing when it comes to Brandon Clark, it's more just formality. You know, at the end of the day, he played 37 minutes, quote unquote, off the bench, you know, in game five. If he's playing 37 minutes, who cares where he is in the first 4 or 5 minutes of the game? You know, I think it's more of a formality thing. I do agree with you, though, on Xavier Tillman. That's your energy guy. That's your spark plug. You know, when things are – when guys are, you know, playing a step slow and things like that, that's the guy I feel like you bring in the front court to grab a couple – you know, kind of give the boost he did, you know, earlier in the series, to grab a couple offensive boards and, you know, energize the team in a way. I don't think he's a starter in this series. And in that case, I say Kyle Anderson should be the starting four. We mentioned, you know – having those smaller guys on Karl Anthony Towns and being able to, you know, stay in front of him. And even when he goes to playing the bully ball, you can bring help, which has been the best, you know, defense against him. One-on-one defense has been tough against Karl Anthony Towns. But that's where I am on it, Sean. I think at the end of the day, yes, I don't think you should start Xavier Tillman. That should be your energy guy. I don't think you can start Brandon Clark at this point. And it's more about Jaren Jackson Jr., than him. If Jaren Jackson Jr. wasn't getting in foul trouble much, then of course, yeah, start Brandon Clark. One of those guys gets in foul trouble, you still have the other on the court. Right now, you just can't depend on him being on the court consistently. So that's where I am on that front. But they have options, Sean.
And to your point, you bring up great points as to why you don't necessarily need to play Brandon Clark. At the end of the day, it's the five that you play the most instead of the five that you start out with. So if you want to go with Ja, Desmond, Dillon, Brandon, and Jaren as much as possible, that makes perfect sense. But a couple of reasons why I would go Kyle Anderson. Number one, I feel like the defense is more consistent, is more astute, smarter when Kyle Anderson's out there because of the adjustments that he can make as a veteran. And number two, the big thing that stands out to me, I've mentioned it multiple times through the years on Locked On Grizzlies, one aspect of this Grizzlies team that I really like at times is their ability to throw different types of skill sets defensively at perimeter scorers to slow them down. In this series, they now potentially have a formula they could throw at Karl Anthony Towns that could frustrate him just enough to where he's not impactful. You could throw the physicality of Tillman, the intelligence of Jaren, the overall tenacity and physicality of Dillon Brooks. I think they will do that. But yeah, I do agree they should definitely go Kyle Anderson. Now, here's the big question to me. Ja, Desmond, Dillon, Clark or Kyle, Jaren. That's your starting five. We'll say it's Jaren or Kyle for the heck of it. The two next off the bench are Tyus and Brandon Clark. That certainly is a duo that's an advantage for this series. But now Zaire is potentially hurt. Xavier, we've talked about, probably should be used in small spurts. I want to go back to a player who I've not lost faith in as being your eighth guy in this Friday night's game, and that is DeAnthony Melton. The three-point shooting, it certainly could be useful to support Bane, and the ability to create turnovers could really stand out against a team that the Grizzlies have the number one when it comes to creating turnovers. That double whammy, DeMichael, is why I would put DeAnthony Melton in that eighth spot, and I would trust him to make a difference in Friday night's game.
That's a big move, Sean. That's a big move because we saw in game five, Melton got pushed out of rotation for the first time this series. John Conchar got his minutes, you know, in the first half. And I believe it was just 3 minutes. So at the end of the day, the rotation just got strength. And John Conchar got a couple, you know, minutes just to rest. Though, guys, we mentioned Desmond Bane and Ja Morant played 45 of 48 minutes. So at the end of the day, it's just not a lot of minutes, you know, going to be in the backcourt. I don't see Ja Morant or Desmond Bane being off the court a lot in this game as well. But, I mean, you make a great point about the three-point shooting, and when DeAnthony Melton is hot, we saw in that latter stretch, he was the second most consistent guy. He was probably as consistent as Desmond Bane, you know, over the last month of the season. He was really good from three-point range. The Grizzlies could use that right now, even though they escaped, you know, game five. And I say escaped because you look at the shooting numbers, and the Timberwolves doubled them in three-point makes. A lot of times you're not going to win a game when a team doubles you in three-point makes. And let's be honest, if that happens again, the Timberwolves are probably going to win. That's just a very unique formula to winning. It's just not going to happen a lot that way. So, yeah, I think, you know, you play him, but I honestly don't know how many minutes that they're going to be out there for him because Taylor Jenkins is doing what, you know, a lot of fans have asked for this, Sean. 45 minutes for Ja, 45 minutes for Dez Bane. And, I mean, I don't see those guys coming off the court very much, especially if it's a come-from-behind situation.
Absolutely, and it's going to be interesting to see, though. The Grizzlies have done very well coming from behind. I certainly think that they would rather get off to a much better start to where they don't have to worry about liking game two. Before we get into another discussion of some pretty awesome play when it comes to several players on the Grizzlies this series, I can tell you an awesome play for you when it comes to the spring. That's rockauto.com. Listen, from a rough winter, you may want to have to change car parts. And if that's the case, why not go to a place to within a few clicks of the button, you can find what you need regardless of make and model, and it'll be there for you. This is also a family-owned business. They've been in business for more than 20 years. They know that car parts, some kind, can fall out of budget. So if that's the case, they're going to work with you to make car parts as cost-effective as possible. When you visit your friends at rockauto.com, tell them your friends at Locked On, at the Locked On Podcast Network, send you rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts you'll ever need. Visit rockauto.com today. So one thing that I'll say to Michael, tomorrow's Locked On the Grizzlies, first off, is that we will certainly talk about game six. Actually, it will be just me. DeMichael is flying to Minnesota. He did not save me a seat on the plane to go to Minnesota with him, but he will be flying back to Minnesota. He was not kind enough to, you know, even bring me a souvenir from when he went to games three and four, but that's neither here nor there. I'm not one to hold a grudge at all, at least during the season, DeMichael. All joking aside, on tomorrow's edition of Locked On Grizzlies, we're going to preview game six. Obviously, much to talk about when it comes to the Grizzlies. But one other thing I want to talk about, and I'm not going to get too much into summer decisions, DeMichael, but I will say this. One big question that I had coming into the playoffs this year, in which we had hoped that we would at least get a few rounds of seeing what was going on, I wanted for role players to define whether they're going to support our core three moving forward or they're going to be assets to get other players that could support them. Okay. And in this pool of players, there were five players: Kyle, Tyus, Brandon, DeAnthony Melton, and I'll be honest with you, Dylan as well. Okay. My point that I'm getting at is that it is a very interesting conversation. And again, this long-term aspects of things we could talk about at other times. But I am not one necessarily to say that five playoff games erase a regular season's worth of performance. But I am here to say that if you continue what you did in the regular season into the playoffs, that's eye-opening. And in the case of Tyus Jones and Brandon Clark, you clearly see that they certainly, in multiple ways, can support this big three. And I do think that that is a relevant narrative. Regardless of what happens over the next few days, hopefully few weeks, I think that's a big narrative that certainly should boost the long-term value for Tyus and Brandon with the Grizzlies.
I mean, I mentioned that Brandon Clark has been the best big man for the Grizzlies in this playoffs. Yes, I'll harp on him first before getting to Tyus Jones. But the thing about Brandon Clark is he's super consistent, because he has a consistent go-to move to his game. His runner, his floater, whatever you want to call it. It's automatic. It's automatic. I actually did a story on commercialappeal.com, and it's called Hustle and Float, as a play on the movie Hustle and Flow, where, you know, Grizzlies fans, you've heard the Whoop That Trick song being played.
I suggested that title to DeMichael. He stole it from me. I suggested it to him. He'll never admit it, though.
Sean wants credit for my title. He wants, you know, things from Minnesota. Sean asks for a lot. I mean, that's what we get from Sean. He asks for a lot.
This is not the time to talk about that. Go ahead, Mike.
But the Grizzlies, they've asked for a lot from Brandon Clark too, and he's provided it, you know, with that floater. And the thing about his floater is, you know, when I was writing that story, learning how deadly that it actually is. From the perspective that he's third in the NBA, he comes off the bench. The other two guys are starters. I'm going to get to the names. He's third in the NBA in runners made for big men this season. He's second in the NBA in efficiency on those runners for big men. The only guy who's more efficient than Brandon Clark on runners and floaters, Nikola Jokic, the reigning MVP and the potential back-to-back MVP. No other center power forward in the NBA is as automatic. The other guy who has made, you know, as many as Jakob Poeltl, who that's kind of his go-to shot as well. But Brandon Clarke being in that conversation with those guys off the bench and then being the second most efficient guy, he has a go-to move. That has made him so, you know, valuable to this team. We see it all the time. When he gets that offensive rebound, you know, he's able to push that little short floater, or he gets the ball in the paint and he's able to just jump really high and push that floater into the basket. It's automatic. So he has that go-to shot. Tyus Jones also in the top 20 in NBA in floaters made, but he brings a lot more to the game. He's been one of the more consistent shooters, you know, this season. He shot well in this series. And Tyus Jones, he's a table setter. I cannot understate, because this is something that a lot of people don't see, you know, a lot of times. But when you played basketball and you know people who've played basketball, resting during the game is kind of valuable, you know, whether it's hiding on defense against a certain player for a possession, whether it's just throwing the ball to another guy and, you know, just getting in the corner and spotting up as you catch your breath after you just handled the ball three or four possessions in a row. With Ja Morant playing 45 minutes, and if he's going to play 42, 43 minutes in this next game, a big part of him getting rest while in the game will be Tyus Jones taking pressure off of him with that ball handling, and not just taking pressure off of him, exceeding like he's been doing. Because you can't just put any guy in that situation and hog up the offense. Tyus Jones has excelled in more ways than we know. You know, it's not just what he's doing as the table setter for this offense when Ja Morant's out of the game. They found something with him being in the game, being able to rest Ja while Ja is in the game, so he can, you know, catch his breath on a possession, then come back the next possession going full speed ahead. After the game, I think Ja Morant said it felt like, you know, knives were in his knees. You know, he was really tired. He said he gave it his all. You know, he told Sean, he said, "I gave it my all, man." And, you know, I don't know if he'd been able to give as much as he did if Tyus Jones wasn't there to relieve some of that pressure. So, yeah, going back to your point, these two guys should be critical pieces to the future. Brandon Clarke, they'll be able to – he'll be, you know, restricted when his time comes. So he'll be a restricted free agent. So they'll have, you know, the keys will be in the Grizzlies court in that situation. Tyus Jones, we'll see how that plays out. And, you know, this summer with him being a free agent, but these are two very valuable guys, and we'll see what their value is going to be like over the course of this run.
And the other thing that I'll say is this, is that they're two very good examples of why Taylor Jenkins' continued and unwavering confidence in his players is such a huge value. Listen, we don't have to go. We can go back a year, actually. Around this time last year, Tyus Jones was in the midst of being out of the rotation as we were trying to try out Justice Winslow as the backup point guard. Brandon Clarke was out of the rotation at times because Xavier Tillman was playing. This is nothing against Justice Winslow or Xavier Tillman. It was the struggles of Tyus Jones and Brandon Clarke. But over the summer, Brandon Clarke got healthy. Taylor Jenkins and his staff embraced what he did well. You know, you with how much Taylor Jenkins emphasizes shooting and passing, two areas of the game that aren't the strengths of Brandon Clarke, the fact that he's able to overcome his desire to see that in his players and embrace what Clarke has done to get back to where he was his rookie year is amazing. And the same with Tyus. Working with Tyus to get back going, it really stood out. So my point that I'm getting at is that the other thing that stands out besides these two players performing so well on the big stage is the fact that they are two of the best examples of not only Taylor Jenkins' unwavering competence in his players, but his ability to continue to develop them even if they run into rough patches. That is a big, big boost to not only the team and their confidence in each other, but also Taylor Jenkins, who we absolutely saw show a great deal of emotion and a wonderful moment in Game 5. It's because he's seeing these players he's invested so much in and who've invested so much in him. It's finally starting to pay off, and hopefully it will with the series win on Friday night.
Sean, I don't know if we'll ever see that much emotion from Taylor Jenkins again. Locked On viewers, you may not have seen the video, but it's been viral, you know, on the internet, on Twitter, on Facebook. I've seen it everywhere. Taylor Jenkins, right after the game, you know, he lifts his arms in the air, and he's fist pumping, and, you know, he turns to the crowd and kind of flexes a little bit, lets out a scream. It's like, it's a side of Taylor Jenkins we rarely see. I always felt, Sean, he was a little reserved. I always felt that. So he let it out.
One thing I'll say about that moment, though, one thing that also struck me when it came to seeing Taylor Jenkins in person, he's a pretty big dude.
He's a big dude.
Yeah, he's a pretty big guy. I'm not talking about, in an unhealthy way.
He can hold his own.
Legitimately, yes. He's a pretty big guy. You would be surprised. As a matter of fact, to be honest with you, I don't necessarily know his background in actual sports, but I would say you would be more surprised that he wasn't a football player than the fact that he doesn't really have a basketball background. Don't mean to interrupt, but was just saying that's one thing that stands out. We've got a pretty imposing figure when it comes to a head coach.
Yeah, I mean, who cares? He wasn't some, big 6'8 NBA player, right? He can hold his own in those NBA coaching matches. But yeah, I mean, his energy, just seeing that burst of emotion from him, we haven't seen that much. And, he's been asked throughout the course of this season, after big Ja Morant poster dunks and, all these exciting – I mean, everyone listening here knows the Grizzlies have had – some incredible plays throughout this season. We saw the 52-point Ja game against San Antonio where Steven Adams launches the ball full court and he tips the ball in. And, at the buzzer, all these plays that the Grizzlies had throughout the season, even the game winner in Phoenix when Ja's hanging in the air, all of these moments, Taylor Jenkins is always pretty calm, cool, collected. Seeing him let it out, that was different, and it just indicates, he's in the playoff fields. He's playing those guys longer. He's taking the $15,000 fines for him. It's not just playoff for the players, Sean. Taylor Jenkins is in playoff mode too.
Taylor Jenkins gone wild. All joking aside, though, but you bring up a great point. We've seen it to both extremes. We saw it after game four in which he brought up very good points about the refs. And I know the Timberwolves can say the same thing. Don't really care what Patrick Beverley has to say. But my point is that you've seen quite a bit of emotion. You've seen Taylor Jenkins get out of his comfort zone. Someone who is consistently, and we're talking about from pretty notable names in the NBA circles, consistently someone who is, complimented for his organization, his planning, being prepared. For him to kind of go with his gut or kind of go against the grain with what he's done this, not only this series in terms of lineups and reactions during the game, but, who he's been in the postgame playoffs, it's been welcome and it's also been needed and it's made a difference in this playoff series. DeMichael, I will tell you this, all joking aside, I hope you have safe travels to Minnesota. I hope that you enjoy game six, and I hope that you do not forget getting me a foul ball at a Twins game this weekend.
Sean, my biggest thing is I want to stay warm. I can't keep going from this weather change. I mean, I'm down in Memphis, and I'm wearing shorts. I'm wearing shorts, Sean. And I'm about to go up here and put on a coat. I can't keep going through this. Let's just say if the Grizzlies can wrap this up, that trip from Memphis to the Bay Area, potentially in Golden State, could be a little bit nicer.
I hope that we wind up going to the Bay Area, and you know what I hope happens? I hope your suitcase winds up falling in the San Francisco Bay. What a hope. What a hope. All joking aside, it's always a pleasure to talk basketball with DeMichael. That's why I just love having him as a co-host. We get to talk basketball and have fun, but that's the point of doing this on a daily basis is so our Locked On listeners can have fun. Make Locked On Grizzlies your first listen of the day. Make the Locked On Now podcast your second listen of the day. Enjoy a great night of sports. The NFL draft is on, more NBA playoffs. The Braves are you know what? The NFL draft is on. NBA playoffs are going well. All joking aside, have a great Thursday. I'll be back with you tomorrow to preview Game 6. And who knows, maybe this weekend me and DeMichael may show up for a surprise show to celebrate a first-round victory for the Grizzlies. That and much more on next edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Have a great night.